Thanks, Dennis.
I don't have that funky little lapel mic, so I gotta carry this stupid microphone around. Forgive me. The last thing I do is watch televangelists with microphones, so I'm not that. Uh-oh, Dick's gonna challenge me. What I wanna do is step back. I wanna look forward for a moment. This is the last message in a sermon series on theology. We've been walking through the Old and New Testament, and we've been challenging ourselves about our personal theology. And I can't tell you how hopeful it is to meet with you individually and in small groups, have coffee with you. Over the last 2 months, met with probably 12, 14 of you. Your comments and your theology challenge me, because there is some thinking there. There's some doubt there. There is some questioning there. And so as we look at the symbols on the front of our worship area, what's that got to do with our theology? At our peace moment, we looked in at how our neighbors, even those in our congregation who are our neighbors, can bring us peace. And in our singing, Dennis has done double duty here, amazingly, worship leading and song leading. Did you catch the theme? There's the Ezekiel theme of shepherd. Barb talks about the Heifer Project, which is this shepherding of resources. There's that manger. And then our prayers looked out. We looked out at those in need. And I appreciate that so much about this congregation. So walk with me this last message as we change up into Advent. And let's look at God. John C. Fremont, you might recognize the name. He was a Colorado explorer in the mid-1800s. His nickname was the Pathfinder among presidents and the Congress, those who called him a hero. They called him the Pathfinder. Fremont searched Colorado, seeking a western passage to the Pacific Ocean. He journeyed lands few others had ever seen. There were no directions, you see, when Fremont was traveling. He made some of the first maps of this territory. There was no guidance. GPS wasn't invented for another 150 years. He had no fancy four-wheel drive pickups. He journeyed on horseback, traveling through what later would become Colorado. He gained a vision of what this state would become. Fremont learned a valuable lesson in these uncharted journeys. First, look up. Keep your eyes open. Check his diaries. Don't look down at the trail when you're traveling the unknown. There's a danger if you look down, you miss the horizon.
And second, he said, look in. Because this life is a gut check, isn't it? Lacking hope to go on, look in. Look into the traveling companions you've got right next to you. Look at the people you travel with. Look into them. Learn to trust them. Learn to listen to their counsel. Because you're not going to make it alone. That's what Fremont said. And then third, he said, look out. You know, when those relationships with your traveling partners get dicey, rebuild them. And after seeking God's horizon clearly, then move forward. Look in to reconcile, trust those you journey with, and then you can look out to serve those in need. Well, like Fremont crossing the Rockies, our congregation is on a Pathfinder journey. We're breaking from the past, leaving the familiar behind. We don't have roadmaps for this journey. I couldn't find one in the office when I walked in 18 months ago. There's no map here. And we aren't sure we're up for the challenge. We're kind of afraid and confused. I heard that a little bit last week at our congregational meeting. Sometimes we take each other for granted, and that hurts. We assumed our congregation could travel on autopilot, didn't we? Wrong. And sometimes we forgot to work as partners of an infinite God. Disingenuous. Looking out, you see, we forgot to see Jesus in our neighbors and in our friends. In this group, we forgot to see Jesus. Now what? Easy. Three simple steps. First, look up. Then, look in. And third, we can look out. Well, what does the scripture say? The scripture Dennis read to us about these three steps. I'm going to take the liberty of using the Aramaic translation. Dennis read from the NIV. There's also the King James Version, the Scofield Version. There are exactly 103 versions of Scripture. And I'm not learned enough on all of those. So I'm going to choose the language of Jesus, Aramaic. It's translated from the Greek. So Ezekiel says in my version, look up. This prophecy that Dennis read brings sovereign God into our daily life. Right here, right now. And read it. In all the versions I have, I've only got eight, every one of them, it's God speaking in the present tense. Here's the Aramaic translation. God says, I will search for my sheep. I will seek them out. As the shepherd seeks out his flock on the day of violent raining and wind, so I will seek and gather them from all countries where they have been scattered in the cloudy, dark day. Isn't that a beautiful turn of phrase? Doesn't it kind of feel like what happens to us sometimes? And then Ezekiel brings another piece. By the way, this is a prophecy. Okay, it's Old Testament prophecy. Ezekiel speaking in the first tense. God says, I will bring them out from the nations, gather them from the countries, bringing them to their own land. I will feed them upon the mountains. I will feed them in good pasture. I will cause them to rest and to lie down. I will seek that which was lost and bring back that which has gone astray, binding up the injured and strengthening the sick. Look up. Expect a God of love. Expect a God who will seek, search, rescue, gather, bind, heal, and strengthen. That's a hopeful seven, isn't it? I'm not a numerologist, but seven's supposed to be a lucky number. Look to a shepherd of love, committed to seek, search, rescue, gather, bind, heal, and strengthen. It's a simple prophecy of the coming of Jesus. It's the prophecy of Advent. Let's go to New Testament Matthew. This verse is Ezekiel's prophecy fulfilled. And it starts out with a bang. If you've got red letter edition, it's Jesus speaking. There's not even an introduction. It's just Jesus starts talking. It says, first look in, then look out. Here's the Aramaic translation. I quote Jesus. When the Son of Man comes in glory, all nations will gather before him. He says, inherit the kingdom your Father has prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Now that's Jesus, the Son of Man, talking directly to us humans. It's a Jesus after Advent. It's the Jesus of Lent. And this year, we're going to travel simultaneously from Advent to Lent. And I hope you're here to walk with us, because it's going to be a fun journey. As we look in, what will we need for kingdom inheritance? Look in. Do you love Jesus enough to love each other? Do you love cash enough to see the face of Jesus in him as he runs by you with his sucker? I kind of like that image of Jesus. Don't you? Jesus with a sweet tooth. Well, if you can imagine Jesus in the face of people you look at, then you can look out. Then you can seek to follow Jesus when you serve. And how do we serve? In this scripture, it says, Jesus says, there's five kingdom ways. We're already in the kingdom, folks. Memo to self, I don't have to wait. We're here. So what are the ways that we serve here? Feed the hungry. We sang about it. Quench the burning of the thirsty. Welcome the stranger. Clothe those with nothing and visit prisoners. I'm not very good at those. Have you ever visited a prisoner? Never. I've never visited a prisoner. Shame on me. I missed the kingdom. But I'm going to get there. Check with me in a year. See if I've kept up my kingdom five here. What about our church? Do we spend time looking up at the kingdom? Not so much. I'll be bold. We don't do it enough. Do we spend time and talent and treasure looking in at our neighbors, at the folks we come to worship with? Sometimes not so much. I'll be bold. Do we give time, talent, and treasure looking out Absolutely. We have a gift for it. You are amazing. You inspire me. You inspire the community because you look out. You look out at the Heifer Project. You look out at Tri-Lakes Cares. You look out at MDS. You have a reputation in this community, in this mountain community, as a creative force of good. That's your gift. It's a gift. And sometimes when we spend so much time looking out, we forget to look up and we forget to look in. We forget the very God we serve. This Friday's farewell was for one of our own, Nadine. Nadine Rose. She experienced this God of power and love. She experienced the strength. And it came across in the funeral that she planned. Actually, it wasn't a funeral. Excuse me. It was just a joyful memorial. And she experienced a love of Jesus, a shepherd, she called it. She called Jesus a shepherd. You know, she left us a gift. She left us a legacy. She gave us the Pathfinder's map to eternity. The one I couldn't find in my office desk when I got here. Was it clearly marked with the map quest red dots? Nope, that wasn't the map. Did she have a virtual Siri voice that was whispering in my ear? That's Siri, you know her voice. You can do it in British or American accent. No, she didn't have Siri's voice. Nadine charted a course for us in the timeless words of God, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Doesn't that sound a little bit like this Ezekiel prophecy? Do you hear some themes going on there? Well, it talks about the trials of life, the victory of the soul, traveling across life, past death to a heaven with a loving shepherd. Nadine chose a second scripture, Ecclesiastes 3. It talks about looking at life. You remember it. You've heard it. I love it. To every time there is a season, and to every season, and to everything a season under heaven. So you see, she gave us this map, this reassuring path through the wilderness. The way we use that map will make it come true. Or not. You see, Nadine had a compelling belief that heaven is realizing we're just passing through here. But we hold on to a gift of ages. Heaven is about the soul returning home and its peace after we complete our partnership journey here in the kingdom with Jesus. And by the way, we don't get that kingdom as a reward. It's given with grace. That's the gift of Advent. We're going to start Advent soon. We're going to hang the greens today. Hope you join us. Hope you have some fun with some donuts. I can smell them. I better clam up because we're getting hungry. Advent is a time for contemplating heavenly gifts and the gift of a God who promised to return to us in Ezekiel. A God who promised to repair this world, restoring creation as it was in the beginning, at the foundation. I believe that. I don't think God lies. Won't you savor this season? relish this church life that we have, this moment in eternal time. Would you look up, reflect on the true nature of the soul this Advent, intertwined with this life that flees? What will we make the gift, this gift, in our days here at Mountain Community? Who knows how many days we're given? What gift will you give back, looking up to a God of love? What thanks will you give, looking into the eyes of the people, the neighbors in this congregation? And as you look in, will you be able to reconcile and be intimate with them again? What joyful journey will your path take looking out when you find joy unexpected in the faces of people you just took for granted? I want to leave you with four challenges. Let's close. I'm probably past my time. But these four challenges I give to you only as you're able to answer them. I don't have the answer. Let's try once more. Will you look up in the next year? Will you look up authentically in the next year? In your practice, in your discussion, in the time you pass with your partners and friends? Will you look in this Advent to reconcile peacefully? Will you look in to the soul of that person, your neighbor? And will you commit again to look out, finding the face of Jesus in the people that usually get brushed aside? Wow, are we good at that? Keep doing that part. Would you invite just one other person this season to bump into Jesus? However you do it, Advent's the time to decide. May it be so. Amen.